I'm going to call the Kootenai Fire District Bylaw Committee to order on January 28th at 4 p.m. Could I have a roll call, please?
Penny LeVert.
Scott Horsley.
Fran Parks.
Thank you.
No one recording. No public comment. So our first order of business is to nominate a chair of the committee. Are there any volunteers?
No, but I nominate Fran Parks.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And now we need a secretary clerk. So let me just, I just turned on the recorder, which means that Chris, the fire department, who spends time working for the Prudential Committee, will write up the minutes. So we just need a clerk just to review them. Would you like to do that?
Sure. What do I do after I review it?
You send it back and say it's fine.
Okay.
We'll provide edits.
All right. I can do that.
Okay. So I nominate Penny LeVert to be the clerk for the bylaw committee.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So this is really, you know, did you get the bylaws?
I did.
Okay. Yes, I did. Yep.
Did you have a chance to review them?
I did.
I did.
Do you have any question about the bylaws?
Nope.
Maybe more of a comment. Fran, you know this from attending some of our Water Commissioners meetings. We are planning to, or I am proposing, I think I've got support, to enact a regulation. Originally, it was going to be a policy, but in reading the bylaws, it's now clear to me that we are authorized to pass regulations. I don't know that there are any regulations. If there are, I've not found them.
Yeah, right.
But we plan to, or I plan to propose a regulation to restrict the use of water for irrigation, which will get right to this financial issue, because in my opinion, using drinking water to irrigate lawns is a little crazy. Some people like to do it. They should pay for it.
And, are we paying for it under your new?
Well, actually, well, if we pass a regulation, we would be, yes.
But what we passed last year, aren't we paying the extra amount when we water? Because
maybe,
that's what it amounts to.
Yeah, maybe not enough. We just had a report, which we'll be taking up at the next meeting, looking at $10 million of water treatment or more, which in part is coming from water drawn from the river and the wetlands near the river, Little River. And the reason we're pumping so much water is because of irrigation. So the water rates have gone up, but in my opinion, they will go up much more if we continue this practice, because we're going to have to treat for iron and manganese. We have a report from our engineers, and I believe that the iron and manganese is coming from the wetlands, which is also a violation of the Wetlands Protection Act, which is a whole other matter.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, it's complicated. And the costs that have gone up, I think, are, if we continue on the road we're on now, is just a mini step to where we're going. I think the price will go, costs will go tremendously. Anyways, that's to answer your question, but I just wanted to get on record that I did read the bylaws to answer your question, Fran, and it appears to me, and I think you've looked at them too, that we are authorized to enact a regulation under the bylaws. Because originally I was going to suggest that we might need to amend the bylaws, but it appears to me that we don't need to do that.
No.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Does this mean that you have the authority just to push this through without it being discussed by anyone else?
No.
I actually have the answer to that.
Good.
Because I contacted Mr. Boudreaux to ask him this precise question. And his answer was, typically a water department through its superintendent can issue a water ban, especially in the time of a drought. I do not know what authority a water department has over the installation of irrigation systems. Even if a new bylaw goes into effect banning the installation of new irrigation systems, I'm not sure it could be enforced. To my knowledge, Massachusetts has not promulgated regulations regarding licensing or permits for the installation of irrigation in system, so I believe anyone can install one. This issue would be one of a ban on water use.
So I think the answer to your question is absolutely not. We would have a public meeting.
I might suggest to you, if you're thinking of doing this, that you postpone it a year with the increase in water rates now. The PR is going to be awful.
Thank you for your suggestion.
I'm very sincere about
yes.
that, too.
And I'm very sincere as to what I intend to do to protect this water supply.
Fair enough.
I stick by my guns.
Okay.
And I think people will thank me later.
I'm sure I will.
Any change, people, you know, the fact that we're paying the water rates we are now is laughable. It's laughable.
So do you know how Mashpee enforces it? Because Mashpee
they're doing it through, they're calling it a policy, but it's treated like a regulation.
So they have this, but how do they enforce it?
Through the water superintendent. There's actually 12 water districts that are doing this now.
But how do they?
What do they do? Go around and check to see whether you're watering?
They do, actually. Actually, quite a few.
So we have water police.
So
I don't believe they call them that, but we are authorized. Actually, the bylaws talk specifically about that, which is interesting. It enables both the water commissioners and the water superintendent to check and enter properties to make sure there's no waste.
So,
I'm paraphrasing.
But how do they enforce the ban?
Well, actually, many, I think about 200 Massachusetts water departments have bans on drought conditions.
Right, but I mean, other than drought conditions.
They say, I would imagine they do it the same way. They, through public notification, and then if necessary, you know, knocking on doors.
You mean public notification is my calling and saying my neighbor's watering? Is that what you mean?
I think some people are using text messaging now, phone calls, email.
But what authority do they have to go to somebody and tell them that, A, they can't use their irrigation system, or, B, they can't install an irrigation system?
Right. It would be, they would have to adopt policy like Mashpee did.
That's what I'm asking.
That would be the authority, the policy, or a regulation.
No, but I don't think that gives you the right to walk forward, to force somebody to stop using their irrigation.
Actually, the bylaw, our bylaw does that.
Our bylaws?
Yes.
Where? If you don't mind.
No. I have a copy on my computer. Do you have a hard copy?
I do have a hard copy.
If you want me to.
Sure.
It's under the water. Let's see. I'll just read it. The water commissioners or their assistants, which I believe includes the staff, may enter upon the premises of any water taker or customer to examine apparatus and ascertain the use to which the water is applied or to find or stop any waste. Here's the rest of it.
Sorry. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I think the first page, too, if you don't mind. This is mine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No problem. Actually, is that yours, too?
No, that's yours.
Okay. No, that's yours.
Thank you. Oh, thanks for providing this for me.
So I think that's something that could be easily challenged in court.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things that get challenged in court every day. It's easy to do that in this country.
Yeah. So.
As my ex-business partner, who's a lawyer, said, going to court is fine. You just have to win.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how we make advances in better life.
But state law supersedes our bylaws.
Right. We're authorized in the act that created the Catoosa Water District in 1935.
That's right.
And pursuant to that, we passed our bylaws. As long as the bylaws were passed correctly, then that is the standing law.
Yeah, but state law supersedes that.
Through a preemption?
No, trust me. I've spent more than my fair share of dealing with the Attorney General's office,
right.
Inspector General's office, and other General's office
right.
for reasons I won't discuss. And the state law supersedes our bylaws, just so you know. It's just what it is. So.
Well, to answer your question, yes, I reviewed the bylaws.
Yes, okay, good.
So, and I think they're pretty clear.
Yeah. So I think I'm not aware of any other, bylaw changes that we need at this point. I haven't had any requests from the fire department, the The one water item was taken at our Bethetica November special district meeting, so that was put in there. But
Fran, the other, we discussed this at the last Board of Commissioners meeting about the approval of bills.
Right.
And I did have a question about that. And again, we can look at the actual language, but one of the questions that came up at the Water Commission's meeting is we are reviewing every detailed bill down to really like $15 expenditures. And one of the other commissioners, Tom Hoppenstadt, suggested or asked, we really
you
need
mean to. These are bills that you receive as the Water Department, not our bills?
Correct.
Okay.
And so we're, Water Commissioners are given these lengthy
warrants,
thank you. And we're asked to go through them, which we do. It takes quite a bit of time. So Tom was asking, is this really necessary? And I think we all agreed with Chris there that this is probably not necessary and we could probably expend our time on more beneficial advances to the Water Department. But I don't remember where we ended up because I think, Fran, you may have raised the question, and I did note that in the bylaw, too, that it essentially says Water Commissioners shall review and approve bills, and I'm paraphrasing here, that are contracted.
Yeah.
Can you clarify that? Because I'm wondering, because I need to get back to the Water Commission with an answer on that. And well, that might be a place we should amend, consider amending.
I looked up the enabling legislation.
Okay.
And it basically says the same thing.
Okay.
I'm of the opinion that you don't necessarily have to review them in order to get them shipped over to the treasurer's office.
Okay.
Because that's what the problem is. We weren't getting
a timing.
It's a time
right.
problem. You
right.
know, we need to get the warrants to the treasurer's office on a weekly basis. But if they're held back because they're waiting for people to sign them, then you know, all of a sudden she'll end up with warrants on her desk and have 40 or 50 bills to deal with frequently on a Thursday afternoon if she doesn't work Fridays. So what we did was encourage the Water Department to go on to secure networks where the bills, the warrants, can be put online so the Water Commissioners could sit at home in their GMEs with some hot chocolate.
I'm just going to amend it a little differently, but go ahead.
And review the bills at their leisure. But, you know, it is really, you don't need, you know, the...
Well, so just to clarify that, does that mean we could look at them if we want to, but that the processing wouldn't have to wait for an approval?
Yeah, that's what I would... that's basically what the fire commissioners are doing now.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess the technical question I would have is the term contracted. That's what the bylaw says.
Yes.
I'm not sure what that means. Like, I have an electric bill for my house. Is that contracted?
Well, I think probably in the strict definition of the word, it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
But I see things like, you know, the secure networks, the security system for the Water Department, you know, business with the tanks, big expenses like that. I think that's appropriate.
I agree.
I think the expenses for office supplies.
The monthly electric bill, for example.
Yeah, monthly electric bill, buying paper, you know, for the computer, for the printer. You know, that's ridiculous.
So right now we're signing off on it if it's a hard copy, or we're electronically signing it.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting that we don't need to do that then going forward? For the routine bills like the electric bill.
Yeah. I think I would probably have your committee contact Mark.
Contact?
Boudreau, Mr.
Boudreau. Oh, Mark Boudreau. Okay,
yeah.
To get clarification.
Clarification.
Okay.
But
okay.
I sent Mark Robinson.
Okay.
And I sent Chris a copy of that section of the Enabling Act. And I also checked COMM, and they also have that same thing in their bylaws. I'm just wondering how they actually handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, when Agnes was here, she only paid bills once a month, whether they were overdue or not. So
I do remember.
Because, you know, when you look at it, if you tracked our time, it might be one of the top two or three things that we do right now.
Yeah.
Reviewing electric bills.
Yeah. Yes.
And in my opinion.
Especially after Chris has reviewed them.
Chris is wonderful. We trust him. Especially for things like that. So
So, you know.
So, do you think we should contact Mark Boudreau?
Yeah, I would.
For clarification. Okay.
In another situation, I would say just, you know, ignore it.
Yeah.
Just, but we've got frickin' Fracta breathing down our necks all the time. So,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
Any,
good.
Whatever they find, they'll call up all those people I frequently talk to.
Those are my only two bylaw questions or comments. I think the first one's very clear, but the second one, it sounds like we need to get some clarification.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think you need some legal advice, and I think you're right. I think if, you know, I just reviewing the, you know, the minor stuff is just too much, you know.
Yeah.
The big bills is a different story.
When you're handed, when you're handed a spreadsheet with 30 things on it, and then there's, let's just say, 20 pages of bills before that, and you're asked to sign it, you can just sign it for procedure and not look at it, but that's not being very responsible.
No.
So to look at it, it's about a 15-minute.
Yeah, it's time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, when I get them, I'm always torn, like, do we put the meeting on hold here so that we can read the electric bills and make sure the kilowatt hours are correct?
I don't think they should be coming to the meeting.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
That's unnecessary. You know, they can just, pardon me, I'll go online.
Okay.
And right, I don't know. Do you get the scanned versions of each bill?
Well, we get online. We get a process where we can read them online and approve them.
Yeah.
And in that case, it's scanned. And we get them at the meeting, they're actual copies.
Yeah,
you've
copies.
Seen them.
Yeah.
Clarify with me. After they're online, when you say they're scanned, explain to me that.
Well, I don't know how they put them on there, but they put them on as PDF copies. So I'm guessing they either just copy as a PDF or perhaps they physically scan them in a scanner. I don't know, but they appear as electronic copies.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is part of our paper reduction plan.
Okay.
And records reduction plan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now the treasurer is also getting scanned copies of those bills. So at some point, you know, we're hoping there'll be less transmittal of paper floating around.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah. So that's, I thoroughly agree, you know.
Yeah.
And by law, according to our previous treasurer, the only signature that is the one that has to be on there for the bills to be paid of the Prudential Committee because we're the finance arm.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. So I'll try and schedule another meeting when we have all the people here. And, in the meantime, if you have any pressing need to change any bylaws, let me know.
Will do.
So I would accept a motion for us to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.